If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Who's the guy that does the voiceover for 810? What's his name?
Jim Cutler.
Sounds great, right? Just
perfect.
Perfect voice, right?
Yeah, he was born to do this exact job.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been smoking for 10 decades, right? Gargles, razor blades, all that stuff. So the guy at Channel 41 that does their voiceover is like the main movie trailer guy that you hear for all the big box office movies for their trailers, right? In a world, that guy. He does it for 41.
That guy's got to have like a surprisingly nice house.
I would think so.
That's got to pay pretty well.
In a world where all I have to say is, in a world, I make a salary with two commas. That's it. So that guy has said my name now as well. Jim, great voice, and I don't know this guy's name. We can look it up. I've seen stories on him because he's like the guy for like every movie preview. And Channel 41 has him now. And I'm on Channel 41 now. It's all come full circle. Hey there, good morning. This is Sports Saturday. I'm Mick Schaefer. That voice you just heard there is Josh Briscoe. We are with you for the next 3 hours. Talking sports. Happy July Fools. I had a friend once. Would always text people on the first of every month. Because he thought that, you know, he had April Fools. Might as well make it May Fools, July Fools, December Fools, whatever. Which is a great kind of day. I'm down with it. More April Fools. But you'd always get this text from him and said, I'm pregnant or something like that. What is this? Oh, yes, it's the first of the month. They're celebrating April Fools in July. So it is July 1. And, God, June, I'm going to miss you. Especially when it comes to those Kansas City Royals. How about that? Big win last night, 8-1. In a game where we thought it was going to be maybe a pitcher's duel. That's what happens when you have two really good pitchers. But a lot of times when you play baseball, odd things happen, like one pitcher getting touched up. And thankfully, that was Irvin Santana, the former Royal last night, current Twin, found the Royals' bats. And Jason Vargas gets the win, his 12th of the season, for crying out loud, leads the majors, and he is going to set up nicely to perhaps start the All-Star game. So he'll pitch again on the 5th of July, and then be wide open to go again on the 11th, which is the date of the All-Star game. Here's the phone number, 913-3810-810. Give it a call if you want to talk about those Royals, just how good they are, and so much more. We'll set the stage for the show here in a second, but we mentioned Jason Vargas. So let's hear from Jason Vargas after last night's win.
I don't know if there was one thing working in particular. I got behind some hitters and put some guys on base with free passes, but changeup saved me a couple times, and really we were just able to manage some of the innings when we got some guys on base.
Was there any particular moment there that you felt pretty relieved to get out of? You had a couple guys, two on, two out, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, every time somebody was on with a chance to, you know, put them back in the ball game, when you get Sano to come back to the plate with a couple runners on, and the team just went up and they have a chance to get back in the ball game right there. You definitely feel some relief, but anytime you can get out of that traffic is pretty good.
When you sat after that 5-run 4th, did that have any effect on you? That was kind of a long sit for you.
I don't know if it had any effect on me. Obviously, I think I walked two guys to start that inning pretty quickly, and those things just happen. You just got to deal with them.
You'll take a lot of those 5-run games. So.
Yeah, definitely. Every time.
What the whole season? Is this just kind of an incredible season for you, first halves?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a good season for us as a whole to start. You know, we got into some situations early where we were a little unsure about what's going on, and we started to put it together, and now we're playing some pretty good baseball. So, you know, just the success as a whole has been unbelievable right now.
And your success?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes along with team success, but, you know, we got to move on that doubleheader tomorrow.
Did you get a good look at that Dozier ball? Were you confident that was going to be foul?
I didn't even see the ball, to be honest with you. I disappeared. I didn't know if it went over the inside part of the pole, if it went in between the gap and the fence. I was completely unsure. He walked by me as he was going back to the plate, and I asked him if he saw it. He said he didn't know where it went. We were kind of both just curious to see what happened.
So there you have it, Jason Vargas last night getting the win, 8-1, the final score, his 12th victory of the season. I will disagree with him. I don't think the success as a whole has been unbelievable. They're 39-39. It was an outstanding month. You have, I guess, basically almost made up for April. Now it's time to get to work. You're 3 games out after the Cleveland-Detroit game last night was postponed. You're just 1 game out of second place. You could tie with the Twins today, actually overtake them with the doubleheader today in the standings. So a big day, but overall, I would say Vargas' success has been unbelievable this year, has been awesome, has been terrific. As a whole, yet not quite. You put together, if you're the Royals, you put together another 17-9 month here in July, which would be impossible because I don't think they play 28 games, but whatever. You put together another month like that, then yeah, I'll say, okay, it's been a little unbelievable, especially after you start 10-20, right? And then you throw together May, June, and then potentially another month like that in July. Then I'll call it unbelievable. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Ned Yost, the talkinest fool around. He'll talk before the game. He'll talk after the game. I'm sure he'll probably talk. Will he talk 3 times a day? Before, and after? What if he did before, after, and then reset before, after again? 4 times? That'd be amazing. We'll see. But he talked last night. Here's his words.
Jason Vargas, your thoughts on another dominant outing?
Yeah, he had a great outing. You know, really commanded the ball well. You know, got in I think the 4th or the 5th inning, got to drifting a little bit, which dropped his arm angle, but came back in and made the adjustment. Which resulted in the 2 walks, I think, the 1 inning. But, you know, Sano hit a pretty good pitch, curveball that was in to drive in their only run, but Vargas just been, I mean, it's been unbelievable to watch him, you know, every start and for him to be able to accomplish what he's accomplished to this point. It's been pretty spectacular.
And you talked pregame about this pitching matchup. I mean, he's staring down their ace, the opener of this big series with the division rival. He steps up.
Yeah, the offense really had a great night, and it was balanced. You know, I think everybody in our lineup got a hit, but Gordy drove in 2 runs. So, you know, a sac fly. So it was they did a good job. You know, of getting Irv's pitch count up early and then, you know, kind of putting the pedal to the metal there. I think it was in the 5th.
Capitalizing on that error.
Yeah,
as well.
That was huge. That was a spot where, you know, we could have been out of the inning, you know, 2 outs, nobody on. But, you know, we kind of just kept the line moving. There are a couple of really big 2 out hits by Escobar and Witt, you know, to tack on in that inning, and just a great inning for us.
Ned, did you have a good look at Haas' ball down the line?
I did not. I didn't have a good look at Dozier's ball. I didn't have a good look at Haas' ball. It's hard to tell from where we're standing.
With Vargas, do you think this almost solidifies him being the All-Star game starter, should at least do that?
Well, I mean, again, it's not my decision to make, but my opinion is, you know, his numbers are as good as anybody's in baseball, and he's definitely got to be in some strong consideration for it.
He was at 80-some pitches in the 5th. How big was that in to get, not just through the 6th, but give you another inning in the 7th?
Yeah, nor if we didn't have 2 games tomorrow, he probably wouldn't have went back out in the 7th. But we needed him to, and, you know, we had it lined up where, luckily, the offense came through and scored a couple of runs there for us, too, to kind of ease it up a little bit. But, you know, we were going to go into the seventh at that time with a four-run lead, where Varghese got one of the first two guys out. We were going to let him face Kepler, but Moylan was going to come in and face Dozier, and then we were going to have Minor from that point on. And luckily we got Varghese got through the inning 1-2-3. Moylan came in and gave us a great eighth inning, got through the inning 1-2-3, and you know, Feliz came in with another solid outing and got us through the ninth.
So there you go, Ned Yost last night after the 8-1 win over the Twins. And hey, they finally beat the Twins, for crying out loud. Now can they do it again? Twice today, a big, big day out at the ballpark, as you've got a doubleheader, day-night doubleheader, 1:15 Twins and Royals, then 7:35 Twins and Royals as well. You've got Jason Hamill on the mound in the nightcap, and then a young man by the name of Luke Farrell. Luke Farrell making his debut tonight. Son of John Farrell, Red Sox manager, who is getting the day off to come watch his son make his major league debut. I think it's Gary DeSarcina who will be the acting manager today for the Red Sox. And you see where they're at, by the way. So John Farrell can come to Kansas City and see his kid make his debut. How cool is that? So awesome. Great storyline out there today. A lot of storylines out there today as Kansas City looks to perhaps overtake Minnesota in the standings, get to second place. You can't get to first place until you get to second place. Boston, by the way, in Toronto this weekend. So Farrell's going to jet down here and jet back. It looks like, yeah, Boston has an afternoon game as well. So they'll start a little bit earlier than Kansas City. So John Farrell probably definitely keeping tabs on that game, but watching his son hopefully with a great debut for the Kansas City Royals today. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Give it a call, and we'll talk about these Royals. Coming up on the show, we have a lot. We've got Sporting KC Talk in the 11 o'clock hour with our friend Brad Porter, who will be in studio. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Matt Galloway, stoking the fire, the flames of the border war this week. Well, it wasn't Matt, but he did get a quote from Bill Self, a great quote indeed, responding to Arbo and Lofton, the former Mizzou chancellor, and his comments about Bill Self blowing up the deal for a football game, of all things. So if that doesn't get you calling in, then you're not listening this morning. Border War Talk coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. And then next, we'll continue with the Royals. Day-night doubleheader. Cody Tapp will be all over things, and he will be on the show next, talking about Luke Farrell, talking about these Royals, the win last night, all that stuff. So give us a call, 913-3810-810. We'll get you involved as well. But next, it's Cody Tapp talking Royals baseball. This is Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your royal.
We crave Cody Tapp here on Sports Saturday. You're up early, but you got a kid, Cody. How long you been up, Cody? What's your day been like so far?
She got up at like 7:30. So, I don't know. I haven't done much. Kind of head to the hardware store here in a little bit.
No, oh, yeah.
Some like outdoor project stuff that always seems to come up. But pretty easy Saturday so far. 90 minutes of watching TV with, the baby and practice walking and all that stuff. And then now she's eating string cheese. So, pretty low requirement list.
Is she walking yet? Is that a year?
No, she's not. She can cruise anywhere. There's nowhere she can't get anymore. So
sure.
She just takes the walls to the fridge, to the door, or whatever. But she doesn't feel comfortable enough. She's a very nervous baby. She gets panicked before she ever gets to the point of like feeling comfortable enough to walk on her own.
What?
She also doesn't have any teeth, so I don't know what's wrong with her.
Oh, man. So give us an over-under. Do you think, will she be walking by, say, the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think so. She's close enough to that. I think so.
Give it a month?
Yeah.
Very nice.
I think she'll be up and around by then.
By the way, one trip to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever on Saturday equals three trips, because you never get it all once, right? And then you go back, and often you go back a third time, I found.
Yep. No, that's about how it works. It's always like something silly, too. You're like, oh, yeah, screws. That's what I needed.
Yes, screws.
Those are required for, you know, small maintenance repair. Yes. No, and it'll probably be more than one trip, but there's a hardware store not too far from me. So.
And then it's almost like you have leprosy there because nobody, like the workers there, the employees will turn away. They don't want to help you. They don't want to hear your stupid question. They'll just run away.
You know, a lot of times I try to avoid it and then I regret it because then I'm in there for like an hour and 15 minutes when I could have spent 20 if I just knew where I was going.
Sure. Hey, let's talk some Royals here. That was a fun, feel good Friday night last night, wasn't it?
Perfect. I mean, they needed that game so bad because, you know, it's Luke Farrell and it's Travis Wood both starting the next, you know, two of the next three games, and Jason Hamill, the third guy. So it's not exactly the best lineup of starters the next 3 days, and you're going up against their ace with your ace and still found a way to, you know, get a win, and a big win. I mean, they got to Ervin Santana after 5 1/3 and Jason Vargas, 7 great innings. They got the best-case scenario, to be honest.
It really was, and they beat the Twins. They beat the Twins. Feels like the first time this year they beat the Twins. I don't think it is, but it feels like that.
It's the second.
Second time, okay, yes.
Now against the Twins. So, yeah, it's bad enough.
Exactly. So today is, I say huge. It's big, right? It's big. It's two games, right? It could swing one way or the other. A split, it won't kill you, obviously. And neither will losing both. And neither will winning both make you. But I don't know. I think it's big. You mentioned the starters. If you can come out today with two wins, man, and heading in to a game tomorrow, obviously, but then also another West Coast swing, I just think it's huge. How do you define, Cody, today?
I think they just need a split. Guarantee themselves a split in the series, and I think that's fine because, yes, winning 3 out of 4 at home is nice, but again, look at the starters you're rolling out there. I think the Royals' plan this entire time has been to tread water until Danny Duffy can come back, and he's supposed to start on Tuesday. So they've, in a way, accomplished what they needed. Split, they're going to remain two games back of the Twins. If they get 2 or 3, that's huge. They're going to be even with the Twins.
Yep.
And the Indians and the Tigers, I think we keep thinking about the Royals doubleheader tonight, or today. The Indians and Tigers have a doubleheader, too. What if the Tigers win both?
Could be huge.
You could make a huge, or if the Indians win both, right, and you lose both to the Twins.
Sure.
There's a lot of swing games where instead of being 3 games back from the Indians, you could be 5. Instead of being 2 games, but I mean, you could be within 1 game of the Indians and be tied up with the Twins or ahead of the Twins if you win all the next 3 games. So there's a lot to it. I think just getting a split today would be fine. Farrell versus Berrios isn't exactly an ideal matchup because Berrios has really come into his own. But then tonight, it's against a guy that, I mean, none of us have even seen. I guess he was 8-1 in Double A, but I can't remember his name now. I looked it up last night. Doesn't matter. He's a Double A pitcher that nobody's seen before. He's going to go opposite Jason Hamill. So getting one would be fine.
Jorge.
Trying to find a way to win the Travis Wood game.
Jorge is his last name.
Jorge.
Or okay. George or whatever.
That's probably.
Probably.
I don't know.
It's probably Jorge.
He's like 8-1 with like a mid-3 earned run average in Double A. So he was pitching pretty well. Or Chattanooga or something. I don't know why. I looked him up last night because I didn't know much about him. And I still don't know much about him other than the fact he's going to pitch against the Royals. And that's the kind of pitcher that's given them trouble before. You know, because Hector Santiago goes tomorrow night against them. And that's the, you know, he got him earlier in the season too. The pitching matchups don't line up perfectly for the Royals by any stretch. They don't even get an ace against the guy tonight, right? They get Jason Hamill, who has pitched well. But they just need one. Like, the split is okay for a while. They didn't lose a single – they lost one series. That's it, just that final series against the Tigers in June. You won 5 more. You tied 1. Okay. Now you're moving into the July part of the set. And, after 17-9 in June, just try to get something close to that. Maybe it could be even slightly less. Maybe 4 or 5 games above 500. Just keep the trend line moving the way it needs to go.
Right. We're talking with Cody Tapp about these Kansas City Royals. How cool is the story of Luke Farrell making his debut today and John Farrell going to be in attendance? That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that. How can you not be romantic about baseball when that's the case? And I know, you know, you're joking about skipping your own kids' games, Mick, but
sure,
that's an impossibly, you know, like baseball romantic moment. The idea that he's coaching for a team that, by the way, is in contention for the same spots of the Royals to a point. Like, that's a team that could be contending for a wild card spot. They're not, like, light years ahead of where the Royals are right now. And he's going to take time off from managing the Red Sox just so he can catch his kid's major league debut, which is a bigger deal. It's a 162-game season. You know, just pretend like he got tossed for the game or whatever. But it's, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that he's willing to take the day off to see his son. I think it's great that he's actually going to get to catch his debut. And I'm hoping the Royals find a way to get the win for Luke Farrell so that his dad and Luke, you know, it's going to be hard to match Eric Skoglund's major league debut.
True.
But it'd be nice to hopefully he pitches well. But it's, I think it's really cool that there's still people that will take the time off, you know, from a very busy, because baseball's an insane schedule. His dad's been a baseball manager his entire life, so he's been a very busy guy. He's missed a lot of baseball games, I imagine, over the years. And yet, here he is, ready to, you know, catch his son's major league debut. I think that's a big deal.
Very big deal. If you're a manager, a head coach in any sport, if you're going to miss, baseball's the sport. I mean, there's so many games, and really, you can put a lot of games kind of on autopilot, and you have other guys there that know your strategy and can make the same moves. You can miss a game.
Baseball managers do not matter that much. Like, just to be honest.
He could probably manage from the seats of Kauffman Stadium, right? I mean, he could be. You're not allowed, a phone in the dugout.
Like,
but
text.
Sure.
But if he could just be on the bullpen phone, he'd be fine. Like, watching it on at bat.
Sure.
This guy, he'll be fine. No, it's, of course not. It's, baseball managing ranks below football coach, which is number one, below NBA coach. Hell, it might rank below tennis coach. Like, I get it. They need to happen. They need a person making those decisions. But in-game, like, it's more important for, like, build and team building and, like, big decision. But for, like, a game, no. Like, I could go coach the Red Sox today and it would not be a disaster. Like, got it. Mookie Betts hits first. And then other than that, I'll hope those guys get enough hits to score runs. And if my pitcher gets in trouble, I'll put in a different pitcher. That's the extent of the in-game management a lot of times.
True story there. Jason Vargas gets his 12th win last night. I mean, what has to happen for him not to start the All-Star game for the AL?
I don't see any way. I guess he gets shelled for 10 runs in his final start before the break, but even that, I'm not sure is going to hold him back. You know, Keuchel's been hurt. He's got the second lowest, you know, earned run average in all of Major League Baseball. At this point, he's the obvious choice to start the All-Star game, which, can we talk about how insane that is? I was a believer in Vargas coming into it. So, like, we were talking about the rotation, and I had high hopes for the rotation. Part of the reasons were because I thought Jason Vargas would come back and be solid. I thought he'd be Jason Vargas, right? 3.75, 3.8 earned run average. Cruise along, do his job, pitch 160 innings, and give you no trouble. Instead, he got better, like, way better. And, you know, there have been a lot of first halves of seasons that didn't continue into the second half at this level, right? That guys didn't win the Cy Young in the first half of the season many times. But he's on a Cy Young pace, even through half of a season. That's remarkable. I think, personally, he's single-handedly the biggest reason why they're still in this race.
Absolutely.
Who else you put it on? I mean, he's kept it alive.
Nobody.
When they were dead, he kept it alive.
Nobody. Duffy's been hurt. You know, the bullpen hasn't been good. Nobody in the, Hosmer's been, great since May 1st. But nobody in the lineup you can point to and say, oh, man, thank goodness. This guy, Moustakas, has been, had the pop this year. Salvi's been good to play. But nobody more than Jason Vargas. He has 12 of their 39 wins, right?
And yes, and they've won in more games than that. And if you go back and look at the most important part is in April when they were just getting canned, like just regularly beat. Every 5 days, they'd still get a win. Like, they were losing a whole lot of games, but every 5 days, Jason Vargas would roll up there, and they'd get one win. You know, and so even it could have been, instead of a 10-20 month, it could have been worse if Jason Vargas wasn't pitching. He was the guy that kind of kept them afloat for a while. And then when the rest of the team started picking up the slack, he never let back down. I just think that he's a reason why they're, or he is the biggest reason in my mind, why they're still in the race at all. I think had he pitched even to normal Jason Vargas level, they might be 6 games below 500, and the selling conversation would be a lot more serious.
My hot take coming into the season was, how do we know Vargas is going to give the Royals anything? That was it. I'm like, he's been hurt. He threw, how many innings last year? Not many. Why are you counting on this guy? He's got to kind of prove it again. So that was my hot take coming into the season.
I'm glad that I was on the other side, though I've made a lot of wrong decisions. Because if you want to go back to my terrible Vargas take, I universally mocked their decision to call the signing of Jason Vargas a major announcement. Like, oh, ha, 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 major announcement, Jason Vargas gets signed. So I guess we've both been wrong on Jason Vargas, at least at some point. He has been a really consistent pitcher, and I feel better about guys coming off Tommy John surgery that weren't relying high on velocity beforehand to be able to maintain their ability to pitch. And so I felt like he was going to be productive, but there's no way I thought he was going to be this.
Right.
I didn't think he was going to be in the Cy Young contention. That's insane, Ivan. No one could have seen that coming. He's been out of this world.
Dan Duffy, if he does come back on Tuesday to pitch in Seattle for the Kansas City Royals, a fine outing for Omaha on Thursday. If he does come back, how good, how confident do you feel in this Royals rotation?
Really good. Are you kidding?
I like this rotation when he comes back, and especially, you know, when Carnes comes back, you have Hamill, who's kind of settled down, right? He's your fifth guy. And Ian Kennedy capable of, you know, spinning a gym every 5 days as well. I've said it. I think this is the best rotation they've had the last 3 or 4 years.
No, there's
maybe beyond that.
Like Jason Vargas is pitching like an ace. We've seen Danny Duffy even this year. So, you know, his injury coming back, there'll be some questions. But we've seen him pitch like an ace. Ian Kennedy this year, when not hurt, which is a big if, but he had that stretch of games. His ERA is completely bloated by the fact that that he was hurt and didn't pitch particularly well because he was hurt. And now he's been healthy, he's pitched much better, and even Jason Hamill's coming around. The way the rotation's going right now, it could be one of the best in the American League. And I'm not as worried about the fifth spot. Nate Carnes wasn't some – I think sometimes when a guy goes down, you hyperinflate what he was when he was here. I'm a little surprised they didn't stick with Junis a little bit longer. He's proven to me that he can pitch at least a couple of times. I mean, he can even – like he got shelled in the last one, right? He let up six runs and six
sure.
– the start before he let up one and six and a third. So I'm not so convinced that every fifth day that Jake Junis can't give this team something, because if you want to go back through any of the options at anybody's fifth starter spot, it's not that good, okay? And really, Junis is their seventh choice to be a starter, or eighth choice, right? He's down the list a little bit. So I think he was given them perfectly fine. And I think, if Duffy, you realize that they could pitch, like coming into the All-Star break, think about this, because of the All-Star break, they can pitch Danny Duffy three or four times in six games. So they can pitch him next Tuesday, then they can pitch him Saturday again before the All-Star game. But then the All-Star game, and then they can pitch him again.
On Thursday. After.
The Thursday, right before, they can just, and like the Tuesday, they can pitch him like three or four times in six games. They can go through a huge stretch where
I think it's three times. Yeah, and
he's right. They're in good shape.
Three times in six games or seven games? I think I saw somebody on Twitter listed out Duffy, then you know whoever it'd be, Vargas and Kennedy and Hamill, and then so and so, and then Duffy again, right after the break.
Yeah, Duffy three times, Kennedy twice, and Hamill once. Or I'm sorry, Vargas twice, Kennedy once, and it's like it's great. Then you don't even have to worry. Like the fifth starter spot right now is not something you're going to have to regularly worry about for at least a little while. They might make one more start before the All-Star break. Two, if at worst, okay, great. Then you're cruising back to Danny Duffy, and if one starter is kind of a question mark and the other guys are giving you quality innings, and Vargas has gone deep into games and Duffy's been going deep into games, he's only at 90 pitches or whatever for Tuesday, you're going to be in really good shape to work the bullpen however you want when it comes to that point. So, yeah, I mean, there's reasons to be optimistic that the team at 39 and 39 is looking to get better.
Absolutely, and that's the whole deal. 39 and 39 now, 17 wins, AL best, 17 wins in June. Have they erased April, I guess, and now are they back to square one? Okay, it's almost like you're 500. It's almost like it's a clean slate. Go from here. Is April in the rearview mirror now, and now is it time to, okay, now put your season together?
I think you can stop talking about it, but I mean, it still hurts and a lot. I mean, 10-20, because 17-9 months happen for a lot of playoff teams.
I mean, if you're 13-17, which is still bad, but if you went 13-17 there,
You're in first place in the Central.
You're in first place in the Central.
Yes, or if you just weren't, you know, like 8 or 9 games below 500 against, you know, the American League Central, which a lot came in April, they got dinged pretty badly. Yeah, they'd be in a completely different. I don't think it's washed away.
Yeah,
but they might as well start ignoring it. Like if you're the Royals, okay, we're, you know, start looking at the numbers. We're 3 games back at the Indians. That's what we're chasing. Or we're 1.5 games back in the wild card. That's what we're chasing. Like, look for the number that's realistic to chase, but don't keep sweating April because you can't go back and redo that month.
How about this one? So say Whit Merrifield's on the opening day roster and he's leading off from the jump. What's that 10-20 record?
You know, one guy is probably not as responsible. It's probably either. I think
you could say
Fazio starts in right instead of Orlando, no matter of where he hits.
Sure.
Because Orlando was so bad and Whit Merrifield's in there, you're probably talking about a couple game difference.
I could totally see that a couple of games. Because Mondesi, remember, he came up in some big situations there and did not come through in some big situations there. If you replace him with Whit, who knows? And, of course, this is all meaningless talk here, revisionist history, but it is funny to go back and look at that and, okay, how big of a decision was that? And maybe it'll have effects. Hopefully it doesn't on the season moving forward. We're talking with Cody Tapp about these Kansas City Royals, 2 games today, and then the finale of a 4-game series on Sunday against the Twins. And as Cody mentioned, a real big chance here with a doubleheader. I think, is it in Detroit, Cleveland at Detroit?
Yeah.
A doubleheader with the Indians and the Tigers, a chance to, hey, make up some serious, serious ground today for Kansas City. How about some of these guys? How about Moose, man? You know, 21 home runs, another Dongtown visit last night. What a year that guy's put together as far as slug goes. He's still hitting, you know, 271, which is fine, but that's what you want. You want a guy, that's what you wanted from Moose the whole time. Hit 275 and 40 bombs. You'll take that every day of the week.
275 is great. Are you kidding? And I think people look back and think that, like, maybe that's an anomaly, the 275 this year, because you go back and look at his career averages and they're much lower than that. I mean, he's on pace for 43 home runs. Yeah, that'll work. And when you look back at where he's been from a hitter, I think some people look back to even the year where his power was coming in last year, right before getting hurt. And it wasn't, you know, I think he was hitting like 240 when he got hurt. Like his season number is, say, 240. But before, I don't know if you remember or not, Mick, but before he went on the disabled list with the torn ACL, he was playing like a broken wrist.
Yep.
And then he came back from the torn ACL and played more on that before they're like, yeah, it's definitely torn, remember? So his whole week, he was hitting 290 before he got hurt is the point I'm trying to make. So this is – Mike Moustakas has really found something. I mean, it's – they put it together – like, he started to put it together in 15 where he, you know, he was coming off a really nice year. He had fully put it together in 2016 before getting hurt and has just continued that here. I mean, I feel pretty confident. I feel like he's got like a 65% chance to break Balboni's record, which seems – crazy for a record that doesn't feel like it had ever was going to get beat.
I think it's higher than 65% now. What's he pacing? Still like 43 or 44, something like that?
44. And doesn't keep hitting him. I
mean, you don't want him to break it and get like 39, right? You want him to go past 40.
Like
yes. I think it's the Mets that have the other lowest, right? Aren't they 40 or 41, something like that?
Yeah. And the Marlins have a pretty low one, maybe, but no team is below 40. Let's put it that way. The Royals are the only team that's below 40, so they should at the very least try to get past that number so that they're not the only team sitting in the 30s anymore. I always wondered why they didn't have – like, my big hang-up on that was, like, when everybody else was using steroids, why didn't you just have a guy who was using steroids? Brady Anderson's best season was, like, 16 home runs,
yeah.
And then one year he hit 50. So just do that. Just one time. Get the number up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a, inauspicious, I guess, home run record for the Royals. Hopefully it goes down and, sooner rather than later. And, who knows, he could have 23 bombs by the All-Star break and, be well on his way. Well on his way.
20, I mean, 21 is,
I think there's only been like, what, 8 or 10 Royals in history that have had 20 before the All-Star break.
Last guy to have 20 was Sweeney. It might have been Dye before that. It's a small list of guys who had 20 before the All-Star break.
And how much did Sweeney have to slow down after that start. 20 before the All-Star break and still not even sniff the record.
Well, and see, that's the thing. You never get the impression that that's what's going to happen with Moustakas, because he's proven over the last few years that he has real home run power. And not that, you know, Sweeney didn't, but that was also slightly different time, too, for, you know, the way he was always a doubles guy. And, you know, and I guess that's what you could say about Kauffman, too, certainly doing that kind of thing to not help itself. But, yeah, I don't even think he finished with 30 that year. He might have finished with 27 or 8. So, but maybe he had less lineup protection. I haven't gone back and looked at that year. Maybe they shipped everyone off around him in the trade deadline deal, or they just became a much worse team because they weren't particularly good back then.
Yep. Are you doing pre or post today? Or are you off?
No.
You're done? Good.
Danny's on both duties.
Do we have two pregame shows? I didn't even look at the schedule.
We have two. We have a semi pregame, like a semi pre and post between them. So Danny does pregame at noon, and then he does post/pre between
sure.
the two games.
Sure. That makes sense. Did you have a good vacation?
I did. It was good to be back in Colorado, which is my favorite place maybe on earth, is being at that cabin. So it was good
sure.
to be back. And, you know, I didn't get arrested for drug trafficking, but I was pulled over and my car searched. Since, you know, single guys can't come across the border in Colorado without looking guilty, I guess.
And so was it right across the border?
Maybe 50 miles.
Was it, did they have a reason for pulling you over?
I was speeding, as they said. Never told me the speed I was going, but I got to be honest. I think maybe it was tops 2-3 miles an hour over.
Sure, sure. Likely
excuse.
So I was
speeding. I'm not denying that. But
so no souvenirs
like
then?
Over.
Though what you're saying? You didn't bring any souvenirs for the rest of us?
Hey, all I know is that they didn't find anything.
All right. Oh, okay.
And they searched the whole car?
It wasn't the most in-depth search. It was pretty packed from the trip. So I imagine, you know, there were still some hidden spots. They didn't, like, tear everything out of the car.
You had, like, a toiletries bag somewhere. What you're saying is...
I can walk you through the steps of where to put something in your car. There were a lot of questions, including, like, why my wife wasn't there and, you know, what kind of work I do. He was like, Nick's Social Security number. There were a lot of questions, but I got through.
So if I'll to be honest here, if I saw you driving across the Colorado border, I would probably, just looking at you, yeah, I was like, totally, totally that guy is
That's
trafficking something.
Let's find a reason to pull him over.
But no, like body cavity searches or anything like that, huh?
No,
that's
no.
good.
I got the pat down on the side of the highway.
He did ask for one though, which is weird.
I was kind of hoping, you know. I mean, if you're going to be thorough.
Fingers crossed.
yeah. But no, I came away an innocent man, so that's as it should be.
Well, that's good to hear, Cody Tapp. We appreciate the time. We'll let you have a nice little Saturday, a little Home Depot, Bed Bath and Beyond, whatever.
Thank you, sir. I don't know if I'll have enough time, but I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see. Here's Cody Tapp talking Kansas City Royals doubleheader today. We'll continue to talk about that. Take your phone calls next, 913-3810-810. You're listening to Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Big day of sports at Kansas City. Not only do we have the doubleheader with the Kansas City Royals out at the K, but Sporting in town as well, hosting Portland. Sporting playing good soccer. I was trying to think, what's the British way, the European way of saying good soccer? I don't know.
Jolly good soccer.
Jolly good soccer right now. That'll work. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Patrick, call it. He is up first. How are you, Patrick?
I'm up first. Good morning.
You are. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm feeling good for an old man.
Me too.
You're still a young man. I can go there. But okay. Well, first of all, got to talk about the Royals here, man. That's a good game yesterday, and we're doing pretty good here. Let's I'm hoping that we can get a bite of the, what you call, wild card here. At least get there and go from there.
I agree. Wow. It's funny. I mean, it's great in that, like, okay, they're not leading anything, but they have two options now. Earlier in the season, you're like, okay, Royals' best shot, and it's a long shot right now, is winning the division. Well, you got the division, and you got the wild card in sights as well, because guess what? Nobody else in the American League's running away with things. You have Houston playing great baseball, but guess what? They're out in the West, right? And then... Right. Boston and New York putting together fine seasons, but, you know, they're just 7-8 games above 500. Nobody's running away with things, and that's the best news for the Royals.
Okay. Now, to basketball, I guess. Whoever this is got this local. Whoever this is exchanging words with Bill Self here about playing basketball, I believe, at Mizzou.
Bowen Lofton. He's the former chancellor there.
Hey, well, that would be a sellout, man, at Sporting KC or Kemper Arena, anywhere. I'd like to see that game myself. Quanzo Martin, versus Bill Self. A lot of we'd like to see that game.
I know. They need to chase the absurdity now. They need to have a basketball game played at Arrowhead. For a charity, pick a charity. Just go have it. Have fun with it. Get former Jayhawks and former Tigers. Maybe that's the first step, but I think I love the back and forth between those two. They need to chase that feeling, I say.
Right. Now, for football, let's see here. If I got this thing right now, and you're a married man now, so you know you don't always get things right here at home, I'm sure.
Sure, yes.
If Charlotte learned that one day. But if I got this right, all the NFL, when we start, they're going to keep the 90 guys till the end of the deal? Is that right?
Say that again.
Each football team in the NFL, training camp starts, is that right? Each team is going to keep 90 guys until the thing is over?
Yeah, they get to keep them longer. Josh, what's the rule on that?
Yeah, don't quote me verbatim here. I'm also Googling to make sure I can get the specific details. But what I know is that the NFL rosters used to have cut downs. They had a 90-man roster time.
Yeah,
and then they would have a cut down to, I think, 75. And then they cut down to the final 52. And this year they're keeping 90 all the way up until the
last game, I guess, I think.
Last week of the preseason, I think.
So let's think about this. Let's walk through this. Does that help team and maybe hurt players there? Because a lot of times, right, you would let these guys go early, maybe after the second preseason game, to see if maybe they can catch on with somebody else. Now, if it's just a free-for-all after four games, I don't think that helps the players. It seems like it does a service to the teams, but I don't know. Maybe there's still a free-for-all, and guys can still latch on to teams, but it seems like there's a lot less time to do that.
Right. Now, one more question. Kind of national, but I believe this year we're going to have the first woman to be a replay of,
replay official, is that right?
Think that's what it's called. So is that right also? Is that a true, that's going to happen soon this year?
That's going to happen as well. That, to me, I mean, that's cool, but I don't think it trumps, first, NBA official on the floor, or first, NFL or college, official on the field when it comes to football. So heading in the right direction. But her name's Terry Valenti, first female replay official. So that's somebody we won't see, right? Somebody going to be up in the booth.
But back in 2015, I think 2015 season, a female official started on the field.
Yes.
So the NFL's hit both of those so far.
So they've had one on the field already. So that's why when I heard this, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. To me, that pales in comparison to the, Sarah Thomas? Sarah Thomas, who is actually on the field. Which was a great thing for the NFL.
Let me congratulate you. I almost forget about that. You're moving on up to the old story like the Jeffersons there.
That's right.
Big time now on TV. So I'm going to be looking on 41, also our friend station here. And we're going to miss you here. Not hearing you on the radio, I mean.
Yeah, you'll still hear me on the radio. I'm going to do the Saturday morning show through the summer. And then in the fall, that gets replaced by College Game Day anyway. With Stan and Danny. So I'll be on Syringe Show on a regular basis, and maybe the Board Patrol or here and there. I'm just patterning myself after Frank Bull. I have a similar role to him on the station. Whenever they need to kill time, they'll call me up, and I'll come and help them kill time.
All right. I'm going to be listening for the rest of the summer. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. There, call the number 913-3810. 8:10. Thursday was kind of a cool night for me. I was on 41 for the first time. It's and for most people, I was on TV for the first time. That's, I mean, everybody was like, "Were you so nervous? Oh my God, I can't imagine." I'm like, I have done this for 19 years. So, and really the on-air part's going to be easier because, you know, over at Metro Sports, we were doing half-hour shows all the time, every day. This is just a few minutes, but it was funny. What's that?
Oh, I was going to, this reminded me of a question that I had for you.
What's that?
Is how did Seren take it whenever you told him that I was replacing him on Sunday Sound Off?
He threw things at me.
That's
very
upset. I expected that.
It's funny you bring up Seren. I went to Frank's going away party for a little bit on Thursday. Everybody there and everybody I know just saying the nicest things, very nice things, except for Seren, right? He comes up and grounds me. He was like, hey, there it is, the worst hire in town. There he is. I'm like, thank you, Seren, for bringing me back to earth. I needed that gut punch. I really did.
Whoa, so, getting Ed Helms to fill the shoes of the legend Frank Ball, that's a pretty big gift for 41.
Oh, man. It was cool. There was a neighborhood watch party in my neighborhood, which those people will pretty much look for any reason to get together and drink. So that was their reason on Thursday night. They had the blow-up inflatable screen and had the projector out there. Everybody came.
Not even close to what I thought you were going to say.
Yes. Blow-up inflatable projector screen, not anything else. We do have those in our neighborhood too.
But, I imagine like with your headshot taped to it.
Yeah. So that was. I told him, I'm like, it's only 2.5 minutes. It's 150 seconds, right? That's it.
I've heard you can get a lot done in 150 seconds.
Though. Bathroom breaks are longer than those, all of them. Every time. But it was cool. My parents came up again. I was like, you can watch this on the app back at home. And I've been doing TV for almost 2 decades. But I guess when nobody sees it, then I haven't.
So how'd it go?
It was good. It was fine. It was a B-minus effort, I've said, on my part. Morning sports was better.
B-minus effort on your part is A-plus Nick Schaefer.
Is that
yeah.
good? Okay.
Yeah, I've never seen more than a B-minus yeah. effort.
Everybody was like, were you so nervous? No, I mean, after doing it for so long, I wasn't. Although right beforehand, I'm like, you know what? All my knucklehead friends are going to be hanging on every word. Don't trip over your tongue on some word, right? And mess up right off the get-go. So I was more measured, I guess. Then we taped morning sports, and it was a lot better. So looking forward to getting settled in. Sunday Sound Off tomorrow. Get one of those under my belt. Seren Petro,
be there?
Cody Tapp, Josh Briscoe, maybe he'll make an appearance. We'll see. Blair Kirchhoff. I don't know if we can have a four box there. It's only a
wait, I'm
a
sorry,
three
Cody's
box.
on tomorrow?
Yes, I promised him.
When did you tell Cody? I'm kicking him out.
Yeah. We just had him on. Maybe we'll bring him back on. You can vie for my love and attention on Sunday Sound Off.
Those are nice headphones you're wearing.
Yeah, that's true. I do owe you something. Back with hour number two. Of Sports Saturday. We'll talk Border War, KU in Missouri. Will they play basketball at Arrowhead? We'll see.